Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I love being here on Sunday night.
I do, too. It's good to be here.
On the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And I like calling it the Lord's Day.
And the resurrection of the Lord. Yeah. The Feast of First Fruits.
First Fruits? Yeah. Then we have Shavuot and Pentecost. And I think we're still talking about Pentecost.
Yeah, we are still talking about Pentecost.
Yeah. I promise this is going to be the last show.
About Pentecost?
Yeah, maybe next week we'll do the woman at the well. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Well, see, even there he talks about living water.
That's right.
See, it's all about the Spirit.
It is.
It is.
Woo.
And you know, there's one thing that I've learned. There's the scoffers, like we talked about last week.
They scoffed.
And they're squelchers. So if you can't scoff at the Holy Spirit, then you're going to squelch the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. And that happens in a lot of places. You know, people think that just happens in, you know, the quote, mainline churches. But it happens in a lot of different places.
A lot of places.
It even happens in, you know, home groups and Bible study groups.
Yes,
and little churches, big churches.
Yep.
Or how many times have you heard someone say, well, we don't do that kind of thing here?
Sorry to hear that.
Because, you know, as you know, Stephen and I are in a charismatic Pentecostal,
frame of mind.
It's different than a New York frame of mind, but
that was not planned.
Yeah, it's different than Billy Joel would have thought. But anyway,
that's true.
It's
much different than Billy Joel.
You know, and we sometimes laughingly say, and it is actually true, that the Holy Spirit didn't stop working at the end of the first century,
right?
Or the middle of the first century, or when the canon was closed, or when John, the last apostle, died, or whatever day you want to pick.
Yeah.
Then after that, no one's heard from the Holy Spirit again.
That's true.
In fact, the 20th century is known as the century of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because starting the very first day of the 20th century, the Holy Spirit fell on a young girl who started prophesying and speaking in tongues. And then it moved through, I think, every denomination.
Yeah.
Of course, now there's 28,000 denominations, but it's moved through every denomination in the world, and if you go to Africa, for example, every single denomination is Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Even the Eastern Orthodox churches are Pentecostal there.
Yeah.
And people are just really into it, and the faith is booming.
Yeah. It's, you know, you can try and contain the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're not going to. You can try and squelch the power of the Holy Spirit. But eventually God will, you know, start that revival somewhere else.
Yeah, and Paul says don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Don't grieve the Holy
Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved.
Yeah. You know, when the Holy Spirit falls, people lose control of their plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
They lose control of what their plans are.
Yeah.
And how they think things should go.
Yeah.
And when the Holy Spirit shows up and you have people that are open to moving with the Holy Spirit, I mean, amazing things happen.
Mm-hmm.
People are healed. People are set free.
Oh.
People are, you know, they are
emboldened.
They receive they can receive a full deposit of the faith. You know, so again, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I'm going to give you another advocate. He's going to be with you always, and he's going to remind you of all that I taught you, and he's going to lead you in all truth.
Yeah.
But, you know, what we're going to see is that in a little while, as they start proclaiming Jesus is the risen Messiah, and they're moving in the Holy Spirit, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin are going to call them in and say, we're going to forbid you to speak in that name anymore.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about that next week.
Yeah.
I want to finish up with these guys, though, and say,
so,
what do we do now, brothers?
Yeah, we're only at the beginning of this, and I don't want to get too far ahead.
But, and I think, that would be a good show for next week.
Yeah.
Because then you see, we always talk about how you see how Peter and the other guys had changed. But, you know, when they go in front of the Sanhedrin, imagine a couple of fishermen from Galilee
in
front of the religious leaders of the whole nation saying, all right, you guys. I mean, that would be pretty terrifying.
That would be.
But they're not terrified.
It would be more terrifying than a servant girl in a courtyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It didn't take much to scare Peter before this.
I mean, think about that transformation. This servant girl in the courtyard said, you're one of them. I can recognize.
Yeah.
And he buckled.
Yes.
Now he's going to go before the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
And they're going to say something completely different.
Yeah. I mean,
what a transformation.
To put it in terms that today's people could understand, I mean, this would be like going before the Pope and a whole bunch of cardinals and them saying, okay, what are you guys talking about? Don't say that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be like, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even, you know, even Martin Luther was a little scared when he went in front of it wasn't the Inquisition, but a panel of people, and he said, let me think about this a minute.
Yeah.
But then the next day he didn't recant. But anyway, these guys are so penetrated by the word now. Maybe we better read that. Not the whole passage, but how about, Steve, you read it we're in Acts chapter 2, of course, verse 37 and down.
Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. For the promises made to you and to your children and to those and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day.
Ooh.
Wow.
So they're cut to the heart.
Yeah.
And they say, what do we do?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it happened to you, but when I became a believer and all of a sudden my eyes were open to all this, I said, well, what do I do now? What do I do now? You know, I guess I better get a Bible. And
in the blink of an eye, the whole world, everything just changed.
Yes.
In basically the blink of an eye.
Exactly.
Things that I didn't recognize before I recognized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things that I had been a part of, I realized, why am I doing that?
Yes.
I mean, it was just total transformation. And
I went from being a scoffer and ridiculing things and, you know, telling my wife, thanks for having me waste an hour with those losers, to all of a sudden saying, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Because your whole world gets turned 180 degrees.
Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting.
It is. I mean, you really, God sets things right. He does. He sets things aright.
Yeah.
And the light of, you know, the light of the resurrection illuminates the hearts and minds of men.
Amen.
And
then
we're indwelt with the Spirit. So whether you were a scoffer or a squelcher, God can change that.
Can you be a scoffer and a squelcher?
You probably could be.
Yeah. So these guys were Jews in Jerusalem. You know, Peter says, listen here, men of Israel. You know, he's not talking to Gentiles. He's not talking to, you know, people from Libya. He's talking, well, some of them actually were from Libya, but
he's not
Jews.
Talking to the Greeks or the,
yeah.
Or the other ones,
and,
yeah.
And he says, and these people, like I said last week, you can't help thinking some of these guys may have seen the crucifixion. Some of these guys may have been yelling, crucify him. Some of these guys may have been thinking to themselves, oh man, look at that poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, boy, he really got in trouble with those leaders, man. Yeah. Oh, boy, that poor guy. And look at that pathetic bunch of guys that used to follow him. What are they going to do now? You know, go back to the fishing business? You know, go back to the, Zebedee and Sons fishing business? But these were guys that had maybe seeing Jesus, maybe had yelled, crucify him. Now they're impacted by him. They knew that the leaders had rejected him. They knew that the leaders had gone out of their way, breaking the Torah law to have an illegal trial. They had to get rid of him. They had to get rid of this man because he was upsetting their whole system. And now they're impacted by it. And you can see, although we don't have a recording, you can kind of see they have some anguish in their heart because they say, well, what do we do now, brothers? Now we've been convicted by this. Peter said, you know, you crucified him. He's Lord and Messiah, and you crucified him. You delivered him over. And so they're cut to the heart, and they say, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a impact, but in a painful way.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Holy Spirit, this is the one thing where sometimes people get uncomfortable because they think that, well, that God doesn't convict us of something that's wrong in our heart. And the Holy Spirit does. But God, when God's convicting us, when the Holy Spirit is convicting us of something that is wrong in our lives or not aligned with God, there's always going to be an invitation to return to God. There's always going to be an invitation to repent. And that's exactly what Peter does here. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, think about this.
That's an awesome statement.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fullness of it.
Yeah.
Think about this. This is Pentecost. They were just there for the Feast of Passover.
Right.
How many weeks ago?
That's right. 50 days ago, roughly.
What did they have to bring for the forgiveness of their sins?
The lamb.
A lamb. Yeah. They had to bring their own lamb. They had to procure their own lamb and bring it and offer it for the forgiveness of their sins.
Yes. Blood atonement.
Yeah. Now Peter is telling them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Mm-hmm. And you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a transformation.
Yeah. And since Peter had quoted from the prophet Joel, or Joel would be his name in Hebrew, that's just a little aside.
Chapter 2 or 3.
In chapter 2, in verse, I think it's 13, it talks about rending your heart and not your garments. You know, when somebody who was following the law heard a blasphemy, they were supposed to tear their garments, not the person who blasphemes garments, their own garments. And so that's why the night of this ridiculous trial that they put Jesus through, when they said he's blasphemed, the high priest tore his garments because the Torah said that's what you do. And of course, these guys, you know, they knew, I don't want to say chapter and verse because they didn't have chapter and verses, but they knew some of that stuff word by word. But here you can see in this passage where it says they were cut to the heart because they were rending their hearts and not their garments. They heard this unbelievable message that now impacted them.
Yeah.
They realized that this man they had delivered up was not just an ordinary man who was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
He was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And their hearts were torn.
Yeah.
They were cut to the heart. You know, the word is a sword.
Yeah.
And Peter's got the word going, and the sword just penetrates their heart.
Yeah.
And say, well, now what do we do? And David, Messiah's earthly father, ancestor, maternal and paternal, says, you know, David talks about broken and contrite hearts. So now they got broken and contrite hearts. You know, when you accept the Lord as your Savior and you realize what your real state in life is,
mm-hmm.
no matter how many college degrees you have, how many doctorates you have, how many great jobs you have, how many corporate boards you sit on, when you realize that you're a sinner and you stand condemned, it's a pretty sobering experience.
It is.
Because God doesn't say, that guy's on three different boards of big corporations, and he's got all these degrees from Harvard, and he's making $7 million a year. Wow, that's pretty awesome.
He's a condemned sinner. Well, you know, as you're saying this, I'm realizing as we're talking about this, you know, I'm realizing how, these same people would have been in Jerusalem year after year for the mm-hmm. Feast of Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They would have been there year after year for the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Nothing like this ever happened.
They never had one like this.
And they never had one like this. And they never received the gift of the Holy Spirit
no.
like they did that day.
And they never got lectured to by a fisherman.
No. I mean, it's so transformational. And I think sometimes we in the church can just read through these passages and just kind of gloss over them and not really think
yeah.
about just the profound... the profound change that took place.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 year, they're going for the Feast of Passover, they got the lamb, they yeah. sacrifice the lamb,
yeah.
they go back
yeah.
to the village, they come back for the Feast of Pentecost,
yeah.
they celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, somebody's crucified,
yeah.
there's a whole lot of stuff
going on.
And they come back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. Now there's this mighty rushing wind,
yeah.
and now they're all baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Woo.
I mean, what a transformation.
And if you were one of those apostles or close disciples, you had a totally different Passover than you had ever had before, because you had a Seder like you never had had before.
Oh, yeah.
Where the person who's in charge of the Seder isn't talking about lambs and isn't talking about blood. He's talking about himself. He's
mm-hmm.
talking about, this is my body. This is my blood. This is the new covenant.
Yeah.
This is the eternal covenant.
Yeah.
It wasn't like your normal Seder that they had ever been to before.
Right. I mean, none of this happened in the old covenant.
Right. Exactly.
None of this. All of this is because of the new covenant being ratified
yes.
in the blood of Yeshua.
And you didn't generally have fishermen lecturing big groups of people.
No.
You didn't have fishermen lecturing anybody unless they were teaching some other guy how to fish.
Exactly.
Because this is the other thing about the kingdom of Messiah. That reminds me of a song, The Kingdom of Messiah. Isn't it? Anyway, I love that song.
Oh, Behold the Lord. Yeah.
Ooh, can you ever sing that at One of Messiah?
Oh, wait. Good.
What is One of? Oh, never mind. No, wait,
yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
but In the kingdom of Messiah, there's a big difference. It's not just the Sanhedrin that's going to decide what they're going to do at the, quote, church, unquote. It's not just the Sanhedrin that's going to talk about God, going to talk about the news, the good news, going to talk about the gospel. It's everybody's going to do that.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're a fisherman or whether you have a PhD in theology, you're still responsible for being an evangelist.
Exactly.
Ooh. Oh, I like this.
Ooh.
This is Psalm 133. Anyway, yeah. Check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Whew,
I love that.
That is an awesome
Psalm
song.
Psalm 133. I really love that.
Yeah.
And
you've been talking about that lately.
I've been talking about that lately because as we started these Pentecost teachings, you know, the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, happened when there were 120 people praying in one accord with one heart, with no differences, with no bickering, with no argument, without any kind of conflict among any of them, the Holy Spirit falls.
Right.
And this is what Psalm 133 is about. But that could be another radio show.
Yeah.
Meantime, you could read that for your homework, Psalm 133.
I think we have two shows in the camp.
And interestingly, it's one of the Psalms of Ascent, 121 to 134. Woo!
Ascent.
Yeah, now, you know, if you, the Psalms of Ascent were read as you went up the steps to go to the temple. Actually, they weren't read, they were sung, of course.
That's right.
So I try to sing them, but it doesn't sound very good. It's better if I read them. And, you know, as you know, and for those of you that have been to Jerusalem, if you know, if to go up to the Temple Mount now, you literally have to be worried about your personal safety. And you go up this ugly wooden ramp, and when you get to the top, you're not allowed to pray, and you're not allowed to have a Bible, and So I've been up there, I think, four times, and as I go up that ramp, I try to remember the Psalms of Ascent, so I can, but it's like, you can't really concentrate on it, because you're like looking around, and there's people coming up to you, and looking at you, and it's kind of creepy. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about now. But, so, these guys, these hearts were suddenly affected. They rent their hearts and not their garments.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the other thing I was thinking about when I made my little notes here is these guys who are, they're clearly observant Jews because they're there for the pilgrimage. They're there for Shavuot. They came on the pilgrimage feast. So they're not the kind of people that sit back on their farm and say, eh, I don't care about that crap. I'm not going to Jerusalem next week for that. And I got too much stuff to do here. These are clearly people that are following God's law.
Yeah, they're observant.
When they hear Peter talk and when their hearts are changed, they don't say to each other, hey, you know what? Maybe we should go up and talk to the leaders about this. Maybe we should go up and see if we can find a Pharisee or two and run this by them.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should try to make an appointment with the high priest and ask him, like, do you know anything about this guy, Peter? Or what's he talking about? They don't go to the leaders for any information. They ask Peter. They ask the guy who's the fisherman who just lectured to them, what should we do now?
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
And they call him brother.
Yeah.
You know, they call the group of them brothers. They're Jews by heredity. That's their ethnic group.
Right.
So they are brothers in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're also brothers in the spirit because their hearts have been impacted and they have this close, more human connection to Peter and these other disciples. And so instead of going to look for the high priest, because they're now in a crisis point, they're thinking, you know, I don't think the high priest could really help us with this, because the high priest is the one who wanted Jesus killed. So they asked Peter, what should we do?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Would they go to Caiaphas?
Yeah. Oh, could be. I want to ask some questions about Jesus.
You know, this disciple of Yeshua, Peter, he told us we need to be repent and be baptized, and we're gonna in the name of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oof.
But there's just so much. There's so much here that just is transformational.
Yeah.
It's this unlearned fisherman.
Yeah.
Is now speaking with authority and power of the things of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And they're and he has their attention.
Yes. And he's been filled with the Spirit, and now the Spirit acts on them.
Yeah. And so they're baptized in the Spirit. And, you know, it's so clear in here, you know, as we're talking about this, how this whole passage, Peter doesn't say, yeah, let's go back to the temple and get the high priest and let's get some lambs and make atonement yeah. for this.
Let's go make an appointment with those guys and talk this over.
Yeah, none of that. And you, as you said, they don't do that either.
No.
They believe, they receive the gift of God, they receive yeah. the gift of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they had 120.
Yeah.
We got to get a new building already.
Yes.
We've only been there for 9 days.
Yeah. And when Peter lays on them that they've killed the Messiah.
Yeah.
I mean, he adds that this had to happen, and then he was raised, and you know. But, you know, he lays on them. They're the ones who delivered him over.
Yeah.
And so now they're thinking, like, how do we get out of this problem? Now we understand. What we did was wrong, and what we did, now we see that even though it was God's plan, we were responsible for handing him over. We did something terrible,
yeah.
And now we understand the plan of salvation we've been hearing every Saturday morning at the synagogue. Now what do? And the answer is repent. Mm-hmm. The way into the kingdom is to repent.
Repent, exactly. Yeah. When... You know, that's the key really to, allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our life is if we don't repent, then there's unforgiveness in our heart. There's unrepentant yeah. sin in our yeah. heart. And that's obviously a block to God. Mm-hmm. That's a block to the Holy Spirit. And coming before the Lord with a humble, contrite heart, I think is it Psalm 51 or 57? It says, a humble,
51.
Contrite, yeah, a humble, contrite heart, Lord, you will not spurn.
Psalm 51. Yes. Yeah.
And when there's repentance, when there's metanoia, then there's transformation.
Yes.
You know, when I come to the place of acknowledging that, man, I thought this way for a long time, but now I see that that was wrong. Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
I was yes. walking. I realized that I was walking in darkness now.
Yes. Yes.
And that can be very sobering to a person.
Yes.
But it's so necessary because what Jesus wants to do with us is make us a new creation.
Yeah.
Just as he did with all these people yeah. at Pentecost.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, basically when Peter says repent, he's saying exactly what you just said. You're not going to repent just because you yelled, crucify him. You have to repent for your whole life and say, I'm going to change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change the way I act. I'm going to change the way I do my job. I'm going to change my outlook toward the scriptures, toward going to the synagogue/church. I mean, they didn't realize exactly where they were going to go yet.
Right.
Whether to go to a church or a congregation.
Or a home group.
Or a home group.
Confusing.
They looked for a church steeple, but they couldn't find one. So they
I mean, so this is
amazing.
It really is. I mean, we're kind of making light of it a little bit.
I mean, we talk about the 120 in the upper room.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the infant church. Now there's 120 plus 3,000.
Yeah, we don't mean to make light of it a little bit, but it is. It's, you know, it's just like we've talked about the disciples. They walk with Jesus for 3 years, and then these things happen, and then right after the crucifixion and the resurrection, their lives are really transformed, and they see the Holy Spirit falling upon Gentiles, and they've been steeped in Judaism for all their life.
Yes, exactly.
And not that there's nothing that's wrong.
Yes.
That was the faith that they came out of. Salvation comes from the Jews.
Yes.
As Jesus tells the woman at the well.
Right.
And so now their lives are, now these 3,000 people, their whole understanding of what they've done for their whole life
mm-hmm.
is now changing.
Yes, exactly.
What is this new thing that we're receiving, this Holy Spirit? Yeah, where are we going to go? Are we going to go to synagogue? Where do we meet to worship?
That's right. Are we going to home groups?
You're not
going
to worship on this mountain, and you're not going to worship in Jerusalem. You're going to worship in spirit and in truth, because God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth.
You think they divided up into home groups then?
They may
That's
have.
That's a lot of people.
They may have had to.
There's not room in the upper room for all these people.
Yeah. Okay. You guys are going to meet on Mondays, and we're going to meet on Tuesdays, and the other group's going to meet on Wednesdays.
And so interestingly, you know, John the Baptist preached repentance.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says he had the baptism, John had the baptism of repentance. So he preached repentance, you know, make straight the ways of the Lord. He was the Elijah
right.
that was coming before Messiah. And now that the Spirit's been poured out, it's the same. Repent.
Yeah.
There's now, you know, when John was preaching, John the Baptist, was he really a Baptist? No. When John the Baptist was preaching, or John the Immerser.
John the Immerser.
Yeah. I always made him sound like a kind of an underworld character.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, when John the Baptist was preaching, of course, that was before the cross. And there wasn't grace being poured out yet.
Right.
And he said, repent, because the kingdom was at hand. Now the Spirit's been poured out, and the instruction is the same. Repent yeah. and be baptized. There in the Jordan, he was preaching repentance and dunking people in the water. Mm-hmm. They knew that by the mikvah bath that everybody was familiar with. I mean, right. they were always getting in the mikvah. I mean, if you were a woman, you were in a mikvah bath all the time.
All the time.
And I mean, everybody knew what this was. So John says, you repent, I'm going to dunk you in the water. This kind of like connected this idea of being purified mm-hmm. in the water, being right. cleaned. And now, and that was not Christian baptism. That was, you know, something different. Right. But it was between a mikvah and Christian baptism. Mm-hmm. But now that the Spirit's been poured out, he says, repent and be baptized. Because Jesus had, in the Great Commission, had given them the formula for baptism.
That's true.
And I don't understand. I mean, I've heard of churches going into all kind of controversy about what do you say when you baptize? Jesus tells you what you say when you baptize somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son,
yes,
and Holy Spirit. It's pretty simple.
It's pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity there. And so when a church says, you know, they're baptizing people in the name of Jesus, I say, well, wait a minute. That's not what he said to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he basically said, you come to this confession of faith, which now has to be in Yeshua, Jesus, who's the Messiah. It's not faith in the Torah. It's not faith in the 613 laws. It's not faith in one or two or 10 of the prophets.
Right.
Major prophets and minor prophets. It's faith in Jesus. It's faith in Yeshua.
Right.
And then you're baptized.
Yeah.
So this is now, it's based on what John did. It's a little bit different. And it's now they understood what was going on in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. It has similarities to what John did. Although John was, as you said, he baptized, it was a baptism of repentance in water. But now they're baptized in it with the Holy Spirit and in fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When John baptized, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The only person that received the Holy Spirit at water baptism from John was Yeshua.
Yes,
that
right.
He was the only one.
Good point.
You know, the Holy Spirit descended and rested on him as like a dove.
Yes.
And that was a sign to John that yeah. this is the Messiah.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit spoke to him. So we see that the Holy Spirit's referred to and talked about in different forms and ways.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Holy Spirit's poured out upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In full measure,
mm-hmm.
not just once. I mean, these 3,000 people didn't get the Holy Spirit. They prophesied for a time and then it stopped, as
like
what happened.
Dad and me dad.
Like Eldad and me dad, our friends who were late to church with Moses. How'd you like to be late for Moses' service?
Man.
Oh my gosh. Could you ever live that down?
And then Eldad and me dad, like through all the rest of their lives, have to live that.
Yeah.
Oh man, remember you guys didn't come?
Oh, here comes the two guys that were late for church. Hey, but we still got the Spirit.
If we meet them in heaven, we should have a little talk with them too.
Yeah.
Because if you go up to them, they'll probably both say, listen, I don't want to hear about the being late thing anymore.
So this receiving of the Holy Spirit is so, I think it was so essential to what Jesus taught and to what Jesus told his disciples. Wait here for the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like you said, there's churches that go, well, what about this baptism? How are we supposed to baptize? You know, one of the things that the Lord has shown me, like in the Old Testament, where God had Abraham circumcise the child on the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
That meant you were in the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That meant you had life with God. And, you know, there's a whole debate about when to baptize, you know, whether it's when the person's old enough to make the decision for themselves, you know, whether they're younger than that. But the fact of the matter is, if you left your child to, you know, baptism is a sign of the covenant. It's a sign of life with God. And wouldn't you want your loved one to have life with God?
Mm.
The male, the, you know, the male that was circumcised on the eighth day, he didn't have a choice in the matter.
That's right.
There was none of this. Well, let him grow up and then choose for himself.
Yeah.
It was unheard of. But in our day and age, let the child grow up and choose for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the where's the conflict at? Is it with God? I think not.
No.
You know, so it's the same as, you know, letting your child fend for themselves when they're 2 years old to feed themselves.
Yeah.
They're not going to get very far.
Go out and get yourself some food.
Come on, you're old enough. You should be doing this by now. It's not going to happen. So, but I don't want to digress too much, but this is such an awesome event that takes place at the birth of really the church.
Yes. This is the birth of the church.
The birth of the church. This new and eternal covenant that Jesus ratifies in his own blood is now bearing fruit. He was the first fruits of all creation to be raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now there's others that are being received mm-hmm. into the faith
mm-hmm.
that are going to be raised from the dead.
Yeah. And Peter's pretty much laid on them that he's the promised Messiah. He's the king. He's the one who's made sacrifice for you. And even though you handed him over, this was supposed to happen so sins can be remitted. Then he says, every one of you has to repent.
Yeah.
He didn't say like, y'all can repent.
Yeah.
Just each one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yeah.
You each have to repent. There's not a blanket repentance. And we know that from the bronze serpent. We know that from going to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go to the cross and say, I'm here for the 32 people that are in my home group and they couldn't make it today, but
right.
I'm here representing them. No, they all have to come to the cross
each
individually.
Yeah, each
like
one of
you
us.
Couldn't go look at the bronze serpent in
for somebody else.
For somebody else. Well, you know, they're at work today, so they couldn't come. So I'm here for them. So that does every one of you. And it really doesn't matter how great the sin is, because when you come here and repent and are baptized, you're going to be forgiven, you're going to be restored. The law of Moses couldn't do this.
Exactly.
I mean, the law of Moses, you know, whether you killed somebody or whether you stole something or whether your ox gored the neighbor, those were all sort of, you know, in the mess of the law. Not mess of the law, I shouldn't say that. But now it's like no matter how great your sin is, you repent and are baptized, you're restored.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, this is awesome, too.
Oh.
We could do a whole teaching on this, too. This is from the book of Numbers.
One of my favorite books.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Israel, thy tents, O Jacob. tabernacles, Israel. In Iberochas decha, I will come to your house. There I will dwell. There I will feel thy holiness.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, we're hoping Paul Wilbur's going to be in town sometime in the middle of August, so we'll try to give you some more information about that.
That would be awesome.
If you've never seen him, you got to see him. Anyway, so what's happening here is something the law couldn't do. And then Peter says, if you do this, if you repent and you be baptized, you're going to get the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, that you've just seen poured out here. And like I just told all y'all, that what's happened here was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It happened to us. It can happen to you, too, when you repent and are baptized. And that promise is not only for you, but those that are, quote, far off. Now, that's interesting. I mean, there were Jews who didn't live in the land. There was the diaspora. But there's a promise for those that are far off. And I think here Peter's implying everybody. He's implying, you know, all those Gentiles living out in Jababa land and all the Jews in the diaspora. And all those people in the new world that we don't even know about because we don't know there's a new world. And all those people that live in Asia that we don't know anything about. This is a promise for everybody who repents and is baptized. And he says, when you do repent and are baptized, your sins are remitted and you're going to experience the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good news.
Yeah. And they don't even, I mean, at this point, Jesus had told them, you're going to be my witnesses, but wait here. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the remotest ends of the earth.
Yes.
Now, this is just happening in Jerusalem right now.
Yes.
They don't realize what's going to happen.
Yes.
We have the benefit of, you know, seeing this 2,000 years after it happened.
Yes.
So we can see it a little more clearly. But as they're
in real time,
they're in real time, day by day, you know, things don't change that, usually things don't change that much day by day. Sometimes things do. And
they
this
just got done counting the Omer, and then this happens. Oh.
Yeah. They're counting the Omer, then they got to count all these people. How many were here? It's a lot more than 50. Wow. So, they don't know what's going to happen yet when the Holy Spirit starts moving upon the Gentiles and the church starts to spread mm-hmm. throughout the whole region
mm-hmm.
and then to the remotest parts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And even in our day today, we still preach the word of God because not everyone is saved.
Amen.
Not everyone has received this gift of salvation.
Yes.
Not everyone has responded to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. And really, that message that Peter speaks at Pentecost that day is really the same message that we need to speak today. Repent and be baptized.
Yes. By extension, all these things apply to us. And, and it's not only the people that are in New Guinea who have to be reached. And it's not just the people that are in Mongolia who have to be reached. It's people in your family. It's people at your workplace. It's people at your supermarket you go to. It's even people you see in your church that are sitting there and don't have a clue what all this is about. They're there for whatever reason.
It can be the person sitting right next to you in church
yes.
who has never received Jesus
yes.
and understood
yes.
this message of salvation. They may know things about him.
Yeah.
They may have heard about him. They may, you know, you don't know. I mean, you know, people are busy texting on their phone during the service and during Mass.
Yes.
It's like, am I really hearing what's going on?
Yes.
Am I really paying attention?
Our friend, Steve and I have a good friend named Peter Herbeck who has worked his whole life in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
He works for Renewal Ministries in Ann Arbor. And he has a saying I always love. He says, in the Catholic Church, there's millions and millions of people who have been sacramentalized but not evangelized.
Yeah.
They've been there for the masses, the liturgies. They've had all the sacraments, but they don't know Jesus in a personal way. And they people sitting next to you in the pew may need to be evangelized. But then Peter continues with, save yourself from this perverse generation.
Yeah.
Now, man, he thought he lived in a perverse generation. Man, if he was here now and was walking around in California or New York City, or I mean, talk about perverse generations.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can't be like them. You know, we're in the world, but not of the world, as Jesus tells mm-hmm. his disciples. You know, we have to live in the world. We have to live in the perverse generation, but we're not to become part of the perverse generation.
Yeah, a lot of people don't get that.
Yes,
they think that. Well, I gotta blend in.
Yeah,
it's not about blending in. It's about being a light.
Yes, our citizenship is not here.
Right. I mean, think about it. If you have this, you know, a candle and you have a flame that's burning and it's bright.
Yeah.
And you go, well, that's really bright. I don't want to stand up that much. Let me trim this wick a little bit and get the flame down a little bit.
Yes.
Well, then, you know, we're called to be a light to the nations. The Jews were to be a light to the nations. And they really didn't fulfill that.
No.
You know, and Jesus even said, "Your house is going to be left desolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be given to another to produce a harvest for the kingdom."
Yes.
Doesn't mean that God's done with the Jewish people.
No.
That is just that the Holy Spirit was given, and now other people are going out and proclaiming the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, and it's for everyone to receive. It's not exclusionary to just Gentiles.
That's right.
Jewish people receive that Jesus is the Messiah. Gentile people receive that Jesus is the Messiah. And we are, you know, as that one song that we just played at the first break, Hinei Mah Tov. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together.
Yeah.
When Jew and Gentile worship together as one new man.
One new man?
One new man.
Ephesians 2?
Yeah,
14
Ephesians
17?
2. Exactly. Oof. Yeah. We should talk about
that. Is
that
like One in Messiah?
It's kind of like One in Messiah.
How come we never did a radio show about The One New Man? Did we ever?
I don't think we have, but well, maybe a while ago. We can do one of those. We get around.
But interestingly, too, it says, I like what it says there near the end. No, in verse 41. So those who received his word and were baptized. Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So they accepted what he said. They repented, and they said, "Go ahead and baptize us."
Yeah. There's always a call to receive, or to there's an action that's really needed on our part. Just like when Jesus healed people when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
He had to pick up his mat and go.
Yep.
You know, when he.
We have to cooperate.
We have to cooperate with God's grace.
Yes.
We just can't. It just doesn't happen. We have to cooperate with it.
Ooh, this was a good show.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be like this, but anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray the prayer of Peter, as he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We pray that your heart is open to do that and to repent and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.